All right, good morning. That was a lot of fun, the whole bring your own instrument thing. And Dan, I appreciate you saying, hey, this is in the key of G. It meant absolutely nothing to me. I had no idea. That's like Greek. But I appreciate you. To some people, I'm sure it meant something. So it's just funny how some of us, I'm at the top of the list. I miss the whole music gene somehow. It just bypassed me. I don't get that. But I appreciate music. I like listening to music. But, man, playing an instrument or just not me. So, anyway, we all have our strengths and our weaknesses. And so we are in this story of God's story. And we've been kind of walking through the different pieces and parts of his story, kind of how it all fits together. We've walked through the Old Testament, looking at the major parts of that. Last week, we got to the place of Jesus, where Jesus shows up on the scene, and we celebrated that as part of Easter. And so now we get to the part of the story where it's about who we are. It's about our place in this timeline of God's story where it's our moment, it's our time as God's people. And so this morning, that's what we're going to dive into. We're going to process through that a little bit, wrestle with that. What does that really mean? This place in time that would be referred to as the church age. What is that about? And how do we participate in that? What are the expectations that God has around that point in time that we currently find ourselves in? And to think about what it means to be successful in that point in time that we find ourselves in. What does that look like? And are we clear? Are we crystal clear about what it means to be His church? And what is the mission that we have been handed by God? Again, what is His expectation in that for us as His people? And so that's what we're going to process through here this morning. And as we do that, I think it would be, we're going to spend some time in the book of Acts, looking at a couple different passages in there this morning, because that's where the church age started from a biblical standpoint. That's when, after the point in time when Jesus was here, walking on this earth, He died, He rose again. He hung around for a period of time, and then He left again. And then, effectively, He said, now you, speaking to His disciples, speaking to His people, now you do. You be the church. And so, that's what we want to look at here this morning. And one thing I would like us to think about here is that that process, that journey of being the church, That expression of what it looks like to be God's people has been happening and unfolding and has been in progress for 2,000 years. And in some ways, the expectation that God had on His people in that moment when Jesus was, He ascended to be with the Father, and the set of expectations that were on His people at that point in time, they're the same expectations that are on us. On you and on me, those that have said yes to Jesus, those that have said, yes, I will follow you, I will give you my life. And so, what does that mean? And that's something that we need to lock into, because there's something huge in that for us to think about. Part of that is that everything that they were given as His people also applies to us. It is no different. Sure, some of the specifics, there's cultural difference, time has changed as time has went on, and there's different expressions of what it looks like to be just living life in different cultures and so forth. But it's the same thing. What God expects of us as His people, it's the same thing. And so I'd like us to think about that this morning as we process through some of the things that we'll run up against in the book of Acts this morning. And I wonder sometimes if as the church, whatever box that is for you, if sometimes I don't know, we've somehow gotten, we've complicated things somehow, some way. We've become distracted with, I don't know, somehow trying to create this thing called church. To me, it shouldn't be that difficult, because the church is God's people, right? And if we are really, truly God's people, why does it take so much effort or so much time or so much energy to create this thing called church instead of just being a church? And I think even as Pat was sharing this morning, this idea of just, I think that's what it's about, is being a church, being in step with God throughout our lives, no matter what we're doing, but to be God's people, regardless of where we're at. And so, I don't know. I just think about kind of how we have taken this thing called church, and we think about it as a point in time on Sunday morning, and I don't think that's what Jesus had in mind when he said, I'll build my church. I'll build my people. And so, put that in the back of your mind here this morning as we think through some of these things. I was challenged again this week with a question that typically I wrestle with, I would say daily, if not daily, almost daily, probably multiple times a day in most cases. And it was a question that actually came from one of you, a brother here. And I just want to read it to us here this morning, and because I think it's good to think about, and it fits into what I think God has for us here this morning. It's a challenge to me. It's a question that we need to be thinking about. The question is this: if everyone in the church was living the way you are, would the kingdom be moving forward? Would the world be changed? Would there be fruit? It's a good question to think about. And so I would like every single one of us to wrestle with that here this morning, and to wrestle with that in the coming days and weeks and months and years, that we would wake up and we would think about, what does it mean to be the people of God? What does it mean to be people that have said, yes, I will follow you, Jesus? What does that mean? What does that look like? And I don't know what your life is, day by day, what you're engaged in, where you spend your time, and that looks different for every single one of us. But do we walk in that place, wherever that place is, and do we think about that question? Do we think about, what am I supposed to be doing? Who am I supposed to be? For me personally, I can wrestle with that at different times throughout my day. I can be sitting at my computer. I can be typing code, and I can be thinking, is all of this really matter? Does it really matter? Is there any glory in this for God at all? That runs through my mind almost daily. I can be out riding my bike, and I can have the same thought, the same question. Does this really matter? Is there any glory in this for God at all? I don't know. Those are good questions to ask. I think in different aspects for me, I think in both of those areas, I think yeah. Maybe not in the way that we would typically think, but man, I don't know. I don't know for me personally, if I didn't have those things in my life, I don't know where I'd be. I don't know. I might be locked up somewhere in a mental institution. I'm not sure. And so I think those are good questions to ask in just how we walk through our day. And so since this morning has been group participation, we're going to continue in that. And I want us to back up a little bit here and to think about Jesus a little bit more this morning before we move forward. And so I have a question for us this morning, and I'm going to ask us to break down into groups. and just share for just a moment here with one another. And here's a question. In fact, Samantha, I think there's two questions there. Can you hit question one and put that up there? Okay, so this is a question I would like you to just answer and kind of share with one another in smaller groups of three, four, five, something in that size range. So what is something that Jesus said or taught that is shocking to you personally, and why? Okay? And this will go somewhere. I know it kind of seems kind of just out there at this point, but there'll be something that flows from this. But so I'd like us to just take a moment here and just think about that question. Share that with one another. What is it? And maybe you're here and you're trying to figure out who Jesus even is, and that's fine. That's awesome. Join the crowd. We're all trying to process through that one way or another. And so go ahead and break up in your groups and just take a moment and just kind of go around your group and share this. If you're wrestling, you're not sure, you can say, I pass. That's fine. Okay? But take a moment and ask this question and answer this question in your small groups. Okay? Let's go ahead and break down. Groups 3, 4, 5, something like that. And then we'll come back together in just a moment. Okay. What'd you guys come up with? What are some things that came to your mind? What is something that Jesus said or taught or even did that was shocking to you personally?
When people came to him and said they wanted to follow him, but then they said, first let me go and bury my father. And Jesus said, you should, just follow me. Don't worry about your father.
Yeah.
But they bury their own dead.
Yeah.
Wow. Kind of shocking.
What else?
I think ours was kind of along that same theme, because just the statements of not only leave, but hate somebody else, which maybe shocking to me, because it seemed as though that's a contradiction. The very person that invented love and the family and invented this whole thing now says, hate that and follow, go this direction. And how does that reconcile? Because he doesn't contradict himself really when you examine the scripture throughout time. And so I don't know if shocking is exactly the right word, but it's awfully surprising, sort of like a 180 of who they expect God is.
Yeah, right. Good. What else?
Faith as small as a mustard seed in the mountains.
Okay. Yeah. Other ones. Other ones.
Love your enemies.
Love your enemies. Good. What else?
When Jesus fulfilled the law, it was shocking to me because I didn't understand why God would create a law to have it be shaped.
Prayer that they may be one just as you and I are one. So that set the bar in absolute unity, complete unity of purpose and intent and support and connection in every possible way, and that's the bar. That's shocks me. That's what he wants.
Yeah. Another one?
Submitting to authority. I often think that it should be only if you can trust that authority, or if that authority is a God follower, but that's not what he says. And I often think I should be rebelling against different authorities, but that's not what he calls us to.
Yeah. And so there's all these surprising, shocking, amazing things that Jesus said, and some of them, honestly, some of them don't make sense. Some of them are hard to reconcile. But Jesus shows up, And it comes into our space, our place and time, the world as we know it. And he wasn't what anybody expected. He was an enigma, right? He wasn't what the religious people of his day expected. He didn't do the things that they expected him to do. He didn't say the things that they expected him to say. He was this enigma that shows up for a relatively short period of time. And then he dies. And then he's raised from the dead. Man, how do you even start to process that? How do you get your mind around that? It's amazing. He roams the earth for 40 days, talking, kind of in this, I don't know, it seems pretty strange because it's at times people didn't even recognize who he was. And then they did recognize who he was. I don't know. He was kind of in this weird state, somehow, some way. I don't get it. But he came back to life. And then he went to be with the Father. I don't know. For me, one of the most shocking things that Jesus said. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one goes to the Father except through me. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's pretty shocking. That is, and I don't know what it was like back then, but I know what things are like in our day. I mean, that is cultural heresy. Cultural blasphemy. I mean, to even make a statement like that, right? Jesus saying, I'm the only way. I am the absolute only way. No one goes to the Father except through me. Man, I don't know where you were at before you came to Jesus, but for me, I was in a place where that made absolutely no sense. Absolutely no sense. That was one of my primary struggles, something that I wrestled with. I'm not even sure I knew that Jesus made that claim, but the way my mind worked, it was like there was all of these ways to get to God, right? And who was to say that any one of those was right? Because the thing is that whatever way you think is right is the way that you think is right, right? Regardless of what other people think. I mean, someone wakes up today and they're a practicing Buddhist. They wake up today and they think they're right. Right? Just like we wake up. Those that believe in Jesus, we wake up and we think we're right. And so who's to say that they're wrong and we're right? Before I came to know Jesus, that's where my mind was. That's the way I thought. That was my main argument. One of my main arguments for saying that's, I just can't go that direction. It didn't make sense to me. Who was to say what truth really was? And yet Jesus makes his statement, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Amazing. So as we wrestle with who Jesus is and who he claims to be, who he says he is, And how do we interact with that? How do we walk daily and be in a place where we can claim Jesus as our own and proclaim him as our own and to proclaim the things that he proclaimed, right? How can we be in that place that says Jesus is the only way? Well, we have to be absolutely convinced of who Jesus is, right? Absolutely convinced. And Jesus had a set of expectations on his followers, then and now. And fortunately for us as followers, he didn't leave that up to us to try to figure out. He told us exactly what that should look like, exactly what should get communicated. He told us. So that's what I want to look at today. here in the next few minutes as we wrestle with this. And I want to start with just before Jesus goes away for the second time, before he ascends to the Father. Acts 1, verse 4 is where I'll start. So Jesus is still, he's in this period where he's been raised from the dead, and he's in this place called planet Earth, in some form. Seems to be different forms at different times, seems weird. But he gives his followers some instructions during that time period, that 40 days that he was walking around after he'd been raised from the dead. And Acts 1, verse 4 says, "And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.' So when they had come together, they asked him, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?' He said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority.'" Okay? So, in essence, he's saying, hey, don't worry about that. Okay? God's a big God. He's got that figured out. It's not your deal. Don't worry about it. Goes on. But, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This is Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in this same way as you saw him go into the heaven." Into heaven. Amazing. Amazing. But Jesus has given them instruction. He's given them, he's setting expectations about what it means to be his followers, about what it means to be his people, about what it means to be his church during this period of time that we are in today, still the church age. He made a promise. He said, hey, just, I'm going to send someone. And before this, he had made this promise that he would send his Holy Spirit to be with them, to guide them. And he makes that promise again here. He said, just wait, hold on. And at a point in time after this period of time, when Jesus ascended to be with heaven, there was a number of days, and then that promise came true. Jesus sent the Spirit as he had promised that he would do. And it's kind of... He sent his Spirit at a time which was kind of during another festival, another time of celebration that the people of Israel would have been in the midst of. It's this time called Pentecost, right? Which was 50 days after Penta, 50 days after Passover. If you go back in the Old Testament, it's also referred to as the Feast of Weeks. Does anybody know what that was really a celebration of?
Agricultural harvest.
Okay. So there was a cultural aspect to it and a thankfulness to God for being their provider. That was a part of it. And then there was also a part of it where it was really their celebration of God giving the nation of Israel the law. Okay, that's what they were celebrating. So that point in time when God gave them the law on Mount Sinai, that's what the celebration was all about. It's kind of strange to think about, because I wonder if there's an aspect of that where Jesus chose to send the Spirit at that point in time. I wonder if in that he was somehow saying, hey, you know, you want to celebrate something? Here's what you can really celebrate. Celebrate the Spirit. This is the new law. Okay? The old law, yeah, Jesus came to fulfill the old law. Yeah, that it's important. Yeah. But here's the new law. Here's what I want you to do. Here's my Spirit. Follow him. That's your law. Follow the Spirit. Let the Spirit guide you. Let the Spirit speak to you. The Spirit lives inside of every single person that has said yes to Jesus Christ. It's pretty wild to think about. That you and I, as disciples of Jesus, have part of God, part of the person of God living inside of us. That's wild. That's amazing. And the point is that the Spirit should lead us, should guide us into all things and all truth. And so, in that sense, we really don't even have to wonder, what am I supposed to do? What is it supposed to look like? Well, follow the Spirit. And yet it can be kind of this ambiguous, what does that mean? What does it really mean? What does that look like? How do I get my arms around that? How do I think about that? And yet we have the Spirit. The Spirit is there to guide us. Guide us into what? To guide us into the mission that God has for us as His people. And so as part of that mission, what are we supposed to do with that? What does that look like? Well, fortunately, again, we don't have to somehow conjure that up and try to come up with that on our own. God has given us that. He tells us exactly what that should look like. If we skip forward in Acts, I'm going to skip forward to Acts chapter 4. There's a section here. Again, it's an amazing part of Scripture where the church starts to be the church. Jesus starts to build His church through His people, through His body, through those that have said, yes, I will follow Jesus. We're collectively called His body. We're collectively called His church. And that is how Jesus has chosen to build His church, is through His people. And in Acts chapter 4, there's an example here of what that looks like for His people at that point in time. And I just want to read through this, and we'll come back and think about this a little bit more. But let me just read it here first, Acts chapter 4, verse 1. And I'll just read it. And as they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed, because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them into custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of men came to about 5,000. On the next day, so they arrested them and threw them in the brink, and then the next day, when they could deal with them, the rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all who were of the high priestly family. And when they had sent them in the midst, they inquired, by what power or by what name did you do this? And so the context here is that Peter had healed this lame man. Okay, he had done this miraculous thing in the context of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. And they're asking him, hey, how did this happen? Who gave you the power to do this? Verse 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, as we all are, that have said yes to Jesus, said to them, rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. By him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is a stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And then there is salvation. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated common men, they were astonished. And they recognized that they had been with Jesus. But seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. But when they had commanded them to leave the council, they conferred with one another, saying, "What shall we do with these men? For that a notable sign has been performed through them is evident to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But in order that it may spread no further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name." So they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard." And when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people. For all were praising God for what had happened. For the man on whom this sign of healing was performed was more than 40 years old. And so there's this moment. This is their moment. This is their time. Jesus gave them direction. He gave them instruction. He set the expectations. And they knew exactly what was expected of them at that point in time. And then they went and did it. And it wasn't easy. There was opposition. The religious people didn't like it. And yet, they did what they had to do. They did what they were instructed to do by Jesus himself, and they followed the Spirit. It's amazing. That was the mission. That's what they did. That's our mission. That's what we're supposed to do. That's it. That's what it means to be the church, to proclaim Jesus to those who don't know Jesus. To make that proclamation, to share that truth through words, through deeds, through our lives, through relationship. That's what we're called to do. That's who we're called to be. Do we do that? Are we actually really God's people making a difference? Do I do that? But that's been the same mission for 2,000 years. It hasn't changed. And if we're still here tomorrow, it won't change tomorrow either. That's what God has set up. That's the gospel that you and I are supposed to proclaim. That message of salvation. To proclaim that salvation comes only through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. To make that same claim that Jesus himself made when he said, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." As crazy as that sounds to you and to me in the culture that we live in, as crazy as that sounds to the culture, the people that we rub shoulders with day to day, that is our mission, to make that proclamation, to demonstrate that, to put that on display in various different ways in our lives. What is the church? The church is God's people. We are the church. We are the church. This thing that we do on Sunday morning is kind of a part of, somehow it's a part of what we do. But it's not who we are. It's not who we are. We are the church. We're the body of Jesus Christ. And we get to live that out day by day. And we can mess up in that. We can fail in that. It's going to look different for every single one of us. We each have to figure out what that looks like. And yet that's our calling. That's our mission. That's God's expectation on us as his people. And here's the thing. This is a scary thing for me. We don't lack anything in order to do this. We lack absolutely nothing in order to do this, to accomplish this, to accomplish the mission that we've been given. We have absolutely everything that we need. We have a part of God Himself living inside of us. We have the Holy Spirit. What else do we need? Well, we need courage, we need boldness, we need guts, we need... But if we're following the Spirit, the mission will be accomplished. And for every single one of us, we have to ask ourselves that question every day. Is my life going to count? Is it going to matter? Are the choices that I make, what I choose to do with my time, is it really going to count for anything? If everybody else was doing what I was doing, would it make a difference for the kingdom of God? Would it? Are we asking that question? Are we engaging that place? I'd like us to brainstorm just a little bit here. And I have another question for us. Can we throw up that second one? I want us to fill in the blank here. And we're just going to do this in a large group context here. And so as a part of God's church, as a part of His body, I am to fill in the blank. What are some things that come to your mind?
Proclaim His truth.
Proclaim His truth. Okay? Keep going.
Love others.
Love others.
Glorify Him.
Follow.
Be His hands and feet.
Okay. Be His hands and feet. Good. What else?
Be different than the world.
Be different than the world. Are we supposed to withdraw from the world? No. We're supposed to be in the world, but not of the world, right? Good. What else?
Lay my life down.
Lay my life down. Die to myself. Others.
We need to know also that if we carry His name, we are always an example of Him, good or bad. So to strive to be a good example of Christ.
Okay. So I am to be a good example of Jesus Christ. I'm supposed to do what He did. I'm supposed to be what He was and who He was and to think the way He thought. What else? Say it again. Step out of my comfort zone. Very good. What else?
Love and serve others.
To exercise faith in our decisions.
Exercise faith. So we could do a lot of different things, but if we didn't do it in faith, it wouldn't really matter. Are we bringing faith to all these things? What else?
Set our affections on Christ.
Set our affections on Christ. Good. Other things.
Be united with those in the church.
Okay. Be united. Be united with others in the church. Good. Other things?
Letting Jesus make your decisions.
Letting Jesus make your decisions. What? How do we do that? What's that mean?
Where you live, how you live, what kind of work you do, how much free time you have, how you use your free time.
Yeah, all of it. All of it. It all matters. It all counts. What else?
Seek first His kingdom.
Seek first His kingdom. What's the promise that goes along with that?
Everything else will be added.
Yeah, everything else will be added to it. Maybe not everything that we think we need or think that we want or think that we deserve. But God will provide. Do we believe that? Do we trust that?
Not be ashamed.
Not be ashamed. Yeah. Not be ashamed.
Exercise my gifts to build the body up.
Okay, exercise our individual gifts, individual skills and abilities and gifts that God has given to each one of us. Are we using those in a way that would contribute to the rest of the body? Good. What else?
Teach and train.
Teach and train. Yeah, and equip. Good. Yeah, so there's all these things. Be an ambassador. To be representatives of who Jesus Christ is. So that everybody on the planet that's around us that we come into contact with should have an understanding of who Jesus is simply by the choices we make, maybe the words that we use, the actions that we choose to do or not do. All of it matters. I'll share this verse. Because here's the thing. Well, let me ask this other question. What part of you did God redeem?
All of it.
Every single cell of your body, God redeemed. God redeemed your heart. God redeemed your mind. Everything. All of it. He redeemed your strengths. He redeemed your weaknesses. He bought it all. He paid for it all through Jesus Christ. That's amazing to think about. And so if that is true, this verse is true. Colossians 3:17. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. So it all matters. It all counts, or at least it all can count. Do we have that mindset? Or have we somehow separated it all out and we think, well, if I just show up on Sunday morning, I've done my church thing, somehow that's honored God, and then I can live the rest of my life in whatever way that I choose to, in whatever way that I want to. Well, no, because God redeemed it all. When Jesus Christ died for you, He died for every single aspect of who you are, mind, body, and soul, all of it, all of it. Do we obey this verse? And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's a hard verse to obey for me. I don't know about for you, but for me, that verse is hard. Everything. Are we thinking like that? You see, this is where we find ourselves. This is where we find ourselves. We find ourselves in this place and time called the church age. Where the intent is that we would be the church. That we would actually be the church. We've been redeemed. We've been bought with a price to be the church. One day that's going to come to an end. One day this period of time that we are in today, called the church age, will cease to exist. And we'll talk about more about that in the next couple weeks. But for now, you and I are here today. And we may wake up tomorrow, and we may be here again, or we may not be. We don't know. We have no idea. We have no idea. But as long as we are here, will we have this mindset? Will we have this way of thinking about who we are as God's church in this age to think about? My time matters. My life matters. I can make it count for all of eternity if I'm following the Spirit, if I'm walking with God. Or it can be a big waste of time. Are we pursuing that? This is our moment. This is our time. It's like Travis was sharing in communion. Our glass glued to a table. Flows one way. Flows one way. We don't get to flip it over. We don't get any mulligans. We don't get any do-overs. This is it. Are we connected with that? I would challenge us to think about that tomorrow morning when we wake up. Whatever it is that we're doing, whatever it is you're doing, and you may be tempted to think, well, it really doesn't matter. It all matters. if we're doing it for the glory of God. It all matters. It doesn't matter what it is, word or deed. It all matters. You may be a young mom, and you may be changing dirty diapers. It matters. It matters. It matters more than I think we'll ever understand in this life that we're in today. So one day I think we'll understand it, we'll get it, we'll see the full picture, we'll see the broadness and the full aspect of what it was. For now, we just see little glimpses here and there. And here's a promise that God gives to you and me in this context. Because it's not about us. It's not about what we do. It's about who God is and what He wants to do through us. What He wants to do with our lives. Philippians verse 1, or chapter 1, verse 6. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God is going to finish what he has started in your life? That he is going to bring it to completion, that we are all on this journey, that we are all headed to this place, this destination. There is a destination that we're headed for. Do you believe that God is going to bring that to completion, and along the way, He is going to make us more like Christ? He is going to, use a churchy word, sanctify us. Right? We're going to become more and more like Christ along the way in that process. As we make choices, as we die to ourselves, as we participate in all of these different ways, as we fulfill the expectations that God has on us as His people, as His church. God will use that in our lives, and He will bring it to completion. Do we wake up in the morning? Do we think about that as his church? I hope we do. And I hope we continue to do that more and more as we wrestle with what it really looks like to be disciples. So that's what it really boils down to. And we can come up with all kinds of terms, and those terms seem to cycle over and over, and they're new. And at the bottom of all of it, are we being disciples? Are we being His church? Let's pray. God, Father, I thank you for calling us into this place and time that you have put us in. God, we didn't show up here by accident. I fully believe that. I am here. We are here. Your people are here for a reason. God, help us to fulfill that reason. Help us to be people who will focus our hearts and our minds on what it means to be your people, to fulfill the mission that we've been given. God, that we would be people that love you and love others, that we would seek to rub shoulders with others that are far from you, with no agenda, with no purpose other than revealing somehow through our lives and through our words that you are real, that you are God, that Jesus really came, and that really he really died, and that he really rose again, and that it really matters, that it's really relevant to our lives today. God, help us to share that hope with others. Help us to be your living examples in this church age. Help us to be your actual church. Not just some man-made organization, institution that somehow meets on a Sunday morning. God, that's not what Jesus had in mind. And God, help us to go beyond that. Help us to be people that will be fulfilling the actual mission that you have given to us, God. God, help us to be sensitive to your Spirit. Thank you for your Spirit that you promised and that you have given to us, that lives inside of us, that's resident, that is taken up residence inside of us, that we are your temple, that we are your sanctuary. As we sang earlier this morning, I pray that would be real in our lives this week. God, that reality would flow from us. that it wouldn't be something that we somehow have to conjure up in our own strength, but God, we would just simply be your people that you've created us to be, that we would put on the righteousness of Christ that we have been clothed in, that we would let that shine, and we would be that to the world around us, God. We need your help. We need your guidance. Help us in that process, God. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, thank you, guys. We will see you next week. Yep.
Hey, hang on just a second. Cindy just got a text. Occasionally, the Spirit tees up opportunities for us to care for the body. Edie Doty just let us know her nephew, who is an adopted boy from Ukraine. His name is Valari.